Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Patricia Rossi. She's the CEO of Wellness Connection of Maine. It is the largest provider of medical marijuana east of Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, David, for having me today.
Yes. Well, you know, I think for all the listeners out there, they probably may say to themselves, what is the Wellness Connection of Maine?
Wellness Connection of Maine is currently the largest medical cannabis supplier in the state of Maine. We operate 4 state-licensed dispensaries, a cultivation site, all based in Maine. Our dispensaries are located in Brewer, Thomaston, Gardner, and Portland. We help 9,500 Mainers, seriously ill Mainers, on their way to, you know, an improved quality of life, and we currently employ 65 folks.
65 employees. So you have 4 centers. My understanding is you're also one of the largest, and maybe you can clarify me on the terminology here, but largest provider east of Colorado?
Yes.
Okay, east of Colorado.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell me a little about how the organization got started and how you came into the organization. And we're going to certainly talk about today the 65 employees and some of the challenges with that, as well as some of the employer challenges. But let's start there.
So in 2009, Maine passed a law to authorize medical cannabis usage. So let's do a little you know, explanation of how this works. There's a set list by law of what is called debilitating condition that give you permission to use medical cannabis. You go to your provider, you get a certification, and once you have a certification, you become, a potential user. You have to select your sources of where do I get my cannabis from there. And dispensaries is one option. It's a highly regulated industry. We are not letting anybody enter the dispensary that is underage. You must have your certification with you at all time. It's not just a shop that you go in, go out. It's highly regulated. There's a lot of paperwork involved. And that's the process we live by day in, day out. And how we also operate the company. The company was started in 2010. The first dispensaries opened in 2011. I joined in 2011 originally as a board member, and one thing leading to another, Startly got, you know, more and more involved. I started taking care of the marketing, the communication, and then in 2013 became the COO. And later down the road became the CEO, so I'm the chief everything officer.
that's like most Mainers that own businesses or run businesses, right?
Yes.
Chief everything officer, no question about that. When you're looking at some of the challenges that this unique business, because it is unique, it's not nationwide yet, it has its niche, tell me some of the challenges you face about getting employees to come to work at the organization and maybe some things that people might not know. For example, I happen to know that everybody that goes there has to be drug tested, which seems ironic.
Yes. So I think that the biggest challenge is our founding paradox. We're legally illegal. We're legal at state level, but federally we're illegal. So there's a risk just there in our industry. And it's in this context, it's very difficult to attract good talent because they might be scared away by the fact that, you know, maybe one day the feds could come down and raid our company. So hiring good professional talent was one of our biggest issue at the beginning when we started the company. But I would say also for us, nothing comes easy. Getting a bank, being able to have, you know, offer credit card as a form of payment for our members and our customers is it's close to impossible. All linking back to this founding paradox that at federal level we're still, you know, regulated in a manner that we're illegal. So everything gets complicated very easily in our business.
Yeah, no, well, that is a unique paradox, right? Because you're, as you said, legally illegal. So when you're looking at the state of Maine specifically, what are some of the things that you're doing within the state to try to help solve that problem in terms of hiring top talent here in the state?
Well, first and foremost, we are doing a lot of outreach and education. There's a lot of misunderstanding or stereotypes. You know, we produce and sell cannabis, so this comes loaded with a lot of misconception about who we are, how we operate, what we do. There's a lot of stigmas. So first and foremost, we do a lot of education, whether it's with medical provider, patient support group, but we also are active member of the Chambers of Commerce, Domain Human Resources chapters and things of the like, so that we're all turning each other into ambassadors so that people see that we are professional, we're highly skilled professional, and make it, you know, I think if you make it a little more real, you go beyond the stigma and then you start attracting better talent. For us, interestingly enough, to attract good talent, we had to start with believer in cannabis, which led us to having a lot of free-spirited folks, which was a little difficult for us to manage in the context of building a company. And having, you know, things like standard operating procedures and such. So we started from a sheer recruitment criteria standpoint, steering away from people that have any knowledge of the plant or support what we call the movement, and really focusing on skills that they would have owned in different industries. So that helped us get better talent. And I would say since 2011, there's a better acceptance from a society standpoint about what we do. And discussions are easier than they used to be. But if you find a good candidate, you attract them, you have an interview, and then you're willing to move forward with them. But all of a sudden, they talk to their spouse, to their friends, to their neighbors, and they don't follow up. So it's interesting. There's a lot of hesitation.
You think there's a lot of peer pressure? Or you think there's still a hesitation in terms of what you would call mainstream acceptance,
yes,
right, in terms of it?
Yeah, and also one misconception, you know, well, not one misconception, but, you know, to also reverse that, since the beginning, we always wanted to be a good company, taking care of their, you know, we're taking care of our employees. So we offered, right from the get-go, very good hourly rates. Our minimum hourly rate is $12. We offer benefits. We pay healthcare for our employee. There's a 401k match, EAP assistance. We're an all-around good company to also attract good talent.
When the board and you have the discussions about the future in terms of looking across the state or across New England in general, where do you see some of the challenges in terms of growth? Is it in talent? Is it in operations? Is it in, you know, hiring or other areas? What are some of the challenges that you're seeing, other than the regulatory side, which will always be a challenge at this point?
I think it's being able to, to foresee what will happen, because the regulatory background is defining who we are and how we operate, and we know for sure that legalization will happen, because that's what we see in other states. But what form will it take? And how will we have to adapt our operational structure is challenging. We're kind of forecasting in uncharted territories. We don't really have any benchmark to base our assumptions on. So it's being able to edge our bet in the best way possible, but also be proactive. We're currently expanding our production facility, so we're definitely betting on the future. We see a great increase in the demand for cannabis, so we're trying to be proactive about it. But it's a little challenging.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, in our pre-meeting, when we talked prior to the show, you talked a lot about working in an environment where you don't have a real clue about the future at all. And it's a challenge when we're talking about strategic planning or strategic thinking past a few months, a few 6 months. So it's living in the environment when you don't know what's going to happen next. And I think when owners out there think about that, that's probably relevant to a lot of organizations out there that deal with regulatory situations, whether it be in the medical profession, legal profession, different areas. Even in accounting and tax structure, it's constant change. It's constant, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next, and it could throw everything we're doing into a loop, or, you know, fix things differently or change what we're doing. How does your organization deal with that type of situation in terms of making people feel comfortable about the future?
Well, we're having very open discussions and communication about the future, and I think that creating a strong management team and strong buy-in from the team is the best way to do that. So we're all in together following the objective. We're spending also dedicated time to do strategic planning and doing a lot about what does this mean to leave, you know, to lead at the edge of chaos, because that's what we're doing. We're just on the edge and what will happen. So there's a lot of communication and, you know, at some point, it's also the talent you hire, because you have to have profiles that are willing to constantly learn, reinvent, find solution. You know, if you join our company, you cannot expect that you will always do the same thing. It will constantly evolve. So the profile of ongoing learners is really important for us, too.
Well, when you change the organization from what you call believers to business people.
Yeah.
That certainly is a challenge, right? Because you're going from a workforce that really buys in and is loyal to the product and believes into the product, you might say almost too much, right? To a fault. Versus people who, as you say, didn't really know the product that well and understand the business side. How did you change the culture of the organization without really messing up the works?
Well, it's interesting because you can be a believer in the plant, but not a user, for instance. That's some of the fundamentals that, you know, people have to understand. We have a great team currently. We have a CPA. We have a really good HR managers. They're not believers. They were hired for their skills as really good, solid professional, and when you meet the patients and you hear the stories, then you become a convert and you're becoming an ambassador in your own right, but you're not coming from the belief. I think the belief comes after, or you build a belief as you work for the company. It's where we are now, and what is will chart the future, to your point, because we need, believing in the plant is great, but it's not helping you lead a solid company that is constantly growing. You know, we went from 5 employees to 65 in 3 years. Being a believer is not sufficient to establish, you know, great processes and things of the like.
Well, you know, people work for people. They don't necessarily work for a company. And so having the right people in place is critical to having success. Mm-hmm. I don't care what industry you're in. I don't care what business you're in. It's all about the connection between people to make that work. Did you find that the change in leadership helped that situation tremendously by getting more process-oriented individuals, people who, you know, understood business better?
Yeah, we had to really, well, right from the beginning, you know, it's we're a startup in the startup industry, right? So just being an entrepreneur alone is already a problem, right? Or a challenge every day, I should say. But in our industry, it gets a little more different. So we always build the company right from the first day. We wanted to build the foundation for a great company. We didn't build something small because that would be easier. We fought the fight right from the first day to have solid, you know, point of sale system, tracking systems. We're so big right from the beginning, and we're constantly delivering on that mission. That's what is leading us now to, you know, who we are.
We're talking with Patricia Rossi. She's the CEO of Wellness Connection of Maine. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And today we're talking with Patricia Rossi. She's the CEO of Wellness Connection of Maine, and we're talking about medical cannabis and the challenges, the benefits, and the things that we just maybe don't know. So how's that? Is that a good way of segueing
this?
That's
a perfect summary.
I think that's true. It's true what we're doing today. All right, you know, Patricia, whether we agree or disagree in terms of the medical benefits of cannabis, at this point, it looks like we're going to have in 2016 on the ballot here in Maine probably a referendum in terms of legalizing marijuana for recreational use. First, does the organization support that effort? And if so, fully, partially, or what are some of the qualifiers on that?
So we are supporting legalization, not of recreational use, of what we define as responsible adult use. There's this dichotomy in the current understanding of society that you either are a medical patient in your own right and should get access to cannabis, or you are hardcore, quote-unquote, recreational user. We believe that there's an entire spectrum of other conditions or things in between these two definitions, and this spectrum is really wide. You could, if we legalize responsible adult use, then you will have a lot of conditions, I would say, such as insomnia, anxiety, depressions that could benefit from the use of that plant and all its multiple benefits. So we do support legalization of responsible adult use. This being said, legalization is a beautiful concept, but heavily is going to be in the details and how it will it be implemented. I think Maine should learn from what happened in Colorado or Washington, states that have done it. You know, as of now, Maine was ranked as the best medical marijuana system in the U.S. Last year by American for Safe Access. So we've done it right so far, and it's important that we keep doing it right. And we believe there should be a managed, progressive ramp-up of when it comes to building the system, the number of outlets, will we keep medical? Is this recreational only? How many stores? How many? There's so many things to define, and there's so many options on the table. That's where the challenge will be, and that's where we are very involved in the discussions, whether it's in Augusta or with other stakeholders in the industry.
So currently today, there are three ways people who are able to get medical marijuana. They can grow their own.
Correct.
If approved. Yep. They can use a caregiver system, and they can get it from a dispensary. That's really correct. The three correct ways.
Yep.
So, you know, other than we'll establish that growing their own, there's no way to control that. This caregiver system provides an interesting development if we do legalize it for recreational use. So what is the position of the organization in regards to the caregivers and their ability to sell, cultivate, and or provide to, you know, the populace?
Well, I do believe in the necessity, if you want to build a sound marketplace, there should be different retail channels or solutions that are offered for if you want to buy tomatoes, or, you know, you can grow your tomatoes, you can buy them at the farmer's market, you can go to your, you know, corner store grocery, you can go to a store like Hannaford, or you can go all the way to a Walmart. These selections, or your choice, is based on your personal values and preferences, or your budget, right? So I do believe there's a need for smaller producers, which is currently what the caregivers are doing. What I think is important, though, is that we all abide by the same regulation, and it's a fair marketplace. Because it's the same product, it's the same medicine, so we should all abide by the same standards when it comes to inspection, taxation, things of the like. What will happen of caregivers and dispensaries once it gets legalized? Again, that's part of all these discussions. We're trying to map out what that will look like, but I think there's a space and a role for both.
In terms of, you mentioned the tax structure, in terms of the challenges, the state taxing it, and or even employees taxing, different ways in structure. I know that today we have in the studio as well Jacques Santucci, and he is the owner of Opus Consulting, and he is going to talk a little bit about that tax structure in terms of the overall understanding.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I've been involved with the Wellness Connection of Maine for the past 5 years. I'm currently the Chief Financial Officer for Wellness Connection of Maine, and through our company, Opus Consulting Group, a business management company in Portland, we've been involved with the business since day one. We were part of the application process, and then we helped the board of directors to raise the money and start the business model. We helped select the systems and start the company. Earlier, you were talking about employees. You know, we worked on setting up the first few employees, and Patricia joined the company at that point. But one of the important part was the tax structure. Wellness Connection of Maine is what they called a mutual benefit corporation. It's a sort of non-profit company. It's really a regular company with no ownership. Wellness Connection of Maine has no owners. And so the profit goes back to the community. During the year, you pay all your expenses, you pay your employees. Patricia mentioned all the benefits that are offered to the employees. You look forward for the future, and you invest in the future. But one of the issue with this industry is the IRS code 280E. So that code is about deduction that a company can take. So, for example, your business has income, and you can take a lot of deductions. Maybe you only take half of your restaurant bills, but you take all your deduction and you pay taxes on what's left. For Wellness Connection of Maine and all the medical marijuana dispensaries in the country, you can only take deduction for what is called cost of goods, which is the cost of producing the cannabis. So that includes the staff that's attending the plants, that packaging the plant, that includes the electricity around, you know, producing. But then when it gets into a package, all the selling part, it's called trafficking. And for the IRS, that's where the legal, illegal part happens. For the IRS, it's a trafficker. And so you cannot take any deduction. So really, 60% of your expenses cannot be deducted, which leads to a lot more taxes paid. And for a small business, it's very difficult. Wellness Connection of Maine got really strong financial partners who helped us build one of the best business model in the cannabis industry in the past 4 years. But that said, it cost a lot of money in taxes. So from the beginning, we thought about how can we optimize this conundrum between Maine looking at us as a regular business, and then at the federal level being an illegal business. So we structured our company in different classes to optimize the 280E rule and then optimize the taxes. And to the point that this year we actually introduced a bill through Representative Libby from Auburn. To actually change the regulation in Maine and allow medical cannabis dispensaries and caregivers to be able to deduct more on their tax return and to be recognized as a regular business, because Wellness Connection of Maine and all the other dispensaries and some caregivers in Maine are just regular businesses. Unfortunately, with all the political debate and the political snafu that we've seen this year and the wonderful democracy that we've got, I think this one got lost in the shuffle, but we hope it's going to come back next year.
It's carried over for the next session, so we're still on the radar. The fight is not over.
But that said, when we look at Maine as being one of the first system or best system in the U.S. Rated by the American for safe access. If that law could pass, that would show that Maine is actually for change on the forefront of a new industry, because no other states are recognized that 280E is an unfair practice for a small business. And we hope that Maine's going to carry this law and then show that medical cannabis is legal, and then it'd be on the forefront of a new industry, and instead of followers.
So my understanding would be that this law, proposed law,
yep,
would change state law, not federal, obviously.
Yes.
It's only for state,
yes,
taxes,
yes,
not federal taxes,
yes,
right? Just want to make sure we're clear on,
yeah,
that.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. All right. So
you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. I just want to make sure that the audience was clear in terms of where that was. So, you know, Patricia, on this, from that standpoint, you're making a lot of headway in terms of changes to the status quo, to things what have always been. You know, just getting back to the legalization part, one of the challenges that employers think about is, okay, we've had medical marijuana in Maine for a number of years. This is nothing really new. But employers have to treat it differently than they have to treat other things, such as alcohol or
why do they, though?
Well, the law is very clear. The law is very clear that if somebody comes to work and they're drunk, you can fire them.
Well,
if somebody comes to work and they're impaired,
I would say the problem is not, are you a medical cannabis user and you're coming to work? I think the real thing is about performance management of your employees. And if you performance manage your employees and you have a set checklist and you define and you can hold them against the standard and define if they're impaired, the reason why they are impaired is not your problem, because I do believe that cannabis, you know, if you're a medical patient, you should be all held to the same standard than other drugs. You know, you could be impaired using oxycodone or Percocet, or because you're using that for chronic pain. So I think there's a lot of misconception about because you're using, you're abusing, and things like that. So I think employers should really be proactive about their performance management of their employee and do due diligences about that. And, you know, for instance, we are very proactive. We're currently part of a task force with the Department of Labor and some providers and other employers to precisely work all together on coming to a common ground about what does this mean and how do you integrate medical cannabis or cannabis usage in the spectrum.
We'll get a little bit into the law in the next segment, because obviously we're running to the end of the segment time. Jacques, you wanted to add a quick point.
Yeah, my quick point is, too, that there's a stigma about the medical cannabis or the cannabis user being kind of impaired. But the technology is changing, and a lot of the people who are using it are using extracts and or balms Patricia, help me.
Topicals.
The topicals, that's what I was looking for. And so that doesn't impair them. Or some people also use it at night, and a lot of people who suffer from epilepsy really benefit from the use of medical cannabis, and they take it at night through a form of tincture in a tea, for example, or something like this. So they can go to work and not being impaired, a little bit like you and I taking some medication.
Well, there's a lot of gray area.
Yes.
Right, in terms of the law, whether, and especially if you're talking about federal versus state, right? So employers that have federal DOT drivers, for example, have mm-hmm. to follow federal law. There's no exception to the yep. rule. There's no usage. There's no test. When you test for it, it has to be zero. There's not an exception yes. to the rule. Mm-hmm. Maine passed a law last year that basically said that you can establish that rule for your full workforce if you even have one federal employee. Yep. For testing verification. That's the law. That's how it came through. It was a big change in terms of the rules that came out. So there are some specifics in terms of the law that employers are at times confused over. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get right to those when we come back on the next segment of the HR Power Hour. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
The following is what happens when you make the switch to Pennzoil full synthetic motor oils.
Hennessy Performance made the switch and broke the land speed record.
Sonic boom, anyone?
Dodge switched to Pennzoil full synthetics and created the world's most powerful muscle car.
Ooh, Hellcat.
And this is what happened when Team Penske made the switch in their Indy cars.
And we have a new champion.
Drive into Jiffy Lube and make the switch to Pennzoil synthetics.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Summer's heat can be draining, especially on your vehicle's battery. And O'Reilly Auto Parts has the Super Start battery that's right for your vehicle. Rising temperatures shorten battery life and place added stress on one that's about to fail. Don't get caught in the summer's heat with a dead battery. Get your battery tested today free of charge at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and presented by CMAKorea.com. And today we're talking with Patricia Rossi, CEO of Wellness Connection of Maine. Oh, you know, we're having fun talking here today. And no, I am not under the influence either. We are just chatting here today on the HR Power Hour. All right, so we're talking about medical cannabis, the challenges, the excitement, the challenges of what's going to happen in terms of the next year, which nobody really knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Patricia, it's an adventure.
It is an adventure. So I just want to get back to what employers are concerned about. And certainly I think one of the things in our previous discussion that I liked about our conversation was that you understood that Employers simply want to have the same protections as they do for everything else. If a person comes in under the influence of oxycodone, or if a person comes in under the influence of alcohol, there are certain things that they will do. There are some ambiguities in the current medical marijuana law that doesn't make it as clear and cut as it does for the other two that I just described. So would you agree or disagree that in the current, in the next rules that come out, in the next law that may legalize this, that employers have the same protection that they have for alcohol and or prescription drugs that they should have with medical marijuana?
Absolutely. I think there should be no exception for medical cannabis. It should be treated like any other potential source of impairment. And being an employer myself with, you know, 65 employees, I sure want to make sure my employees are not impaired when they perform their job. So I totally share this concern. I think the best way to protect yourself as an employer is to be very clear with your employees, define checklist policies that are very clear so that the expectations are, I think, clear for everyone. I don't think that having, you know, a medical card is the, you know, the all pass
the panacea,
for everything.
Right?
Yeah, no,
panacea,
no,
right?
You
yeah.
still have responsibilities. But I, and that's why we're trying to be proactive and having this conversation with our regulators and the Department of Labor's to clarify all that for all of us employers.
Well, it's about safety, right? It's about
yes.
safety in the workplace. It's about making sure that whether you're driving a forklift or on the phone with a client in terms of a call center. It's about the same thing in terms of making sure that
absolutely.
The employer has a right to protect its workforce
yep.
and protect it. So, you talked about smoking marijuana, or there are other ways in terms
yes.
of getting the desired effect. Is this becoming more common? Is this becoming more of a, are there other ways that are really showing up?
Absolutely. There's numerous other ways to ingest cannabis. You can smoke, you can vaporize, which doesn't have the similar effect. It's better for your lung. You don't have the burning of the material. But you could also use what we call medicated edibles. You can cook a lot of recipes with cannabis. So cookies, biscottis, a lot of products like that, and or tinctures. And there's also what we call topicals, which are intradermal ways to use cannabis for joint pain, you know, salves, lotions, things of the like. So there's a, you know, that's part of our mission as dispensaries is to help folks define what is the right regimen for them. I think one, beyond the method of ingestion, there's also a lack of understanding that marijuana comes in multiple varieties, that's what we call strains, and not all marijuana strains make you fall asleep or be lousy. Some actually do quite the opposite. They activate you. They make you be more energetic, more focused, more positive. So there's a lot of possibilities with medical cannabis.
Shark, you wanted to jump in for a second.
Yeah, the company has always been very involved in the R&D, a lot of research since the beginning. Research, like we said earlier, in how you treat your employees, research in how the client experience, but also in the product. And we actually have been spending the past 18 months working on new extraction methods and coming up with some products. And probably before the end of the year, the company will introduce some products that are not yet available in Maine to actually help employers deal with this issue of you know, using on the workplace. I agree that, you know, we cannot smoke a cigarette here in an office. There's no reason, because you have a medical card, that you can smoke a big joint in the office, right? And same thing, you cannot be impaired. There's no reason, you know, you cannot have a big whiskey, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning. So sometimes maybe it would help.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah. But so there's no reason, you know, to use it, you know, cannabis in the office either. On the other side, there's a medical aspect of it for epilepsy, for anxiety, for Crohn's disease. And so the industry is actually going towards extraction in a way that it doesn't impair people but help them with their conditions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that almost makes it a little more palatable, right, yeah. to employers in terms of understanding that it then becomes more like somebody's taking a medical pill or a medical device rather than the stigma of smoking a
joint. We actually have capsules, too. So there's a very discreet way to ingest marijuana. You know, we often think about the smoking and the scent, which is very strong. But there's ways that are totally discreet you would never suspect folks are using.
Well, I do think that there is a stigma, whether perceived or real, and probably real from the movies and or what we grew up with, right? Because mm-hmm. we know how it is in the back alleys and different things of what happened.
Yep.
And that's a generational shift that will happen. I mean, certainly if you look at the generational changes that are happening today, what we thought wouldn't be mainstream 10 years ago is now mainstream.
Well, think about those parents who are moving to California or Colorado because their children have epilepsy, 100 seizures a day, and the only thing that that helps them is high CBD strain. We're not going to get into the vocabulary here, but the children needs it, and it's been proven that it helps the kid, you know, go back to a normal life. They're not going to smoke a joint at a 9-year-old. I mean, that's not going to happen. Extract is the way it happens, and that's where the direction of this industry. It's a brand new industry. There's a lot of gray area, and I think it's people like you, like us, like other people that are listening to help shape the new industry, just like casino was, just like alcohol was, you know, all those new industries that are on the fringe of the society. They need all of us to have common sense. And, you know, no need to prove that some people don't have the common sense, but if all of us work together, employers, employees, producer, legislator, we'll find a nice way that, you know, taxes are paid and people get jobs. And I mean, there's no doubt that a company like Wellness Connection of Maine that created 65 jobs directly and a lot more indirectly, you know, brought a lot to the economy of Maine.
You talked about this discussion that's happening with the Maine Department of Labor, with legislators and so forth in terms of either education or understanding. Talk a little bit about that.
That's a very interesting discussion. We're in several rounds of this task force, and I think it allows everybody to come to the table with very different opinions. And altogether, we're educating each other. I think it's always important, you know, not to aim for a conversion of the person that, you know, doesn't know anything, but at least having a good constructive conversation. And I think we're making good stride forwards this understanding that it's not because you use that you abuse. Understanding, you know, that things such as, oh, let's do a drug test. Let's drug test our employees. Well, cannabis stays a long time in your system, so it's not because you test positive that you just used it in the morning. You could have used it like a week ago. And all coming from our different perspective and narrowed down to, okay, how do we put together this checklist? You know, another thing, interesting area is also law enforcement and driving. There's no equivalent of a breathalyzer for medical cannabis.
Colorado
or
is
cannabis.
Dealing with a lot of problems with that
and,
right now.
And there's a lot of university and scientists that are trying to come up with a way to measure impairment linked to that. That could be, you know, if this comes through for driving, maybe that's something that could become a resource. So we're at this discovery phase where everybody is learning to, you know, understand each other's perspective and building a system together. So it's very interesting.
Question, you know, I've heard people talk about the fact that this may be putting the cart before the horse. In other words, we don't have the ability to test it in terms of levels. We don't have the ability to know all the different ways and everything. So why should we legalize it so fast if we still don't know how to measure it or how to legalize it or make it something that is, you know, really, you know, mainstream ready? I'm just a question that's come up. It was actually a question that somebody asked me when I put out that we were going to be taping the show today. So it's an actual audience question.
Well, I think you have to deal with it because it's already there. The problem is not what will happen when it will be legalized. We service almost 10,000 Mainers. That's 10,000 Mainers that are part of a workforce somewhere. So you need to deal with this. If you add, you know, all the other folks serviced by caregivers, I mean, that's already, the problem is already there. I mean, and I don't view it as a problem. I view it more as a challenge for us to build the right system. And we have to be proactive and build it now, because it will be more acute when legalization and the access is broadened. But it's already there, so we cannot avoid it or just say, oh, I'm not going to deal with it, because it's already something you have to handle in the day life of a company. So
yeah,
let's get it to work.
Yeah, it's an interesting challenge, right? And it is education driven. There is no question that I think if you were to walk up to the average employer and ask them what they think, they would expect that it's not a good idea, right? Mm-hmm. I would expect that that would be the answer by most employers, like, this is not a good idea. And I suspect if you walked up to the average person out there, depending on their age, you'd get either from a heck yeah, let's do it now, to absolutely not. So you really have a real diverse populace and employer base that really doesn't know what to do right now. Mm-hmm. And they hear some of the challenges of Colorado, which has had some success and also some real challenges, and California, which has some success and real challenges. So, you know, I'm not sure what the information that is really getting out there. So how does your organization plan to combat that in the next really year and a half as we head into 16 and the potential ballot question?
Education, education, education. One person at a time, having conversation, open conversations with regulator, with providers, with patients, day in, day out. You know, I think we really have to dispel what we are and what we do. We view being able to dispense medical cannabis as a privilege. And it, with privilege comes responsibility. So that's why we're very active with, you know, we're partnering with substance abuse program, with Department of Labor's. I think the right thing to do is to be proactive and altogether make things change and not just duck our end in the sand, because altogether we can make it better.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB. We're talking with Patricia Rossi, the CEO of Wellness Connection of Maine, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Search Ready Kids at nyc.gov or call 311. A public service announcement brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and on News Talk WLOB. And we are talking with Patricia Rossi, the CEO of Wellness Connection of Maine. Patricia, I think we've had an incredible conversation in terms of at least beginning the dialogue about medical marijuana and what the situation will be or could be in the next few years in terms of the potential legalization of it. If I was an employer and you were in front of me, which I am an employer and you are in front of me, what are some of the two or three or maybe four key points you would like really people to take away from this conversation today?
I think you should not obsess about medical marijuana or marijuana usage. You should really focus on hiring the right talent, performance managing them in a way such that if any impairment appears, then you can manage it accordingly, whatever is the source of impairment. I think you should not be afraid of this, and just be very proactive and focusing on your own processes so that you're ready for it. Do not avoid it, because the topic is already here. The subject will happen, and have conversation with subject matter experts and learn from that.
So if somebody was to reach out to you and say, hey, can I talk to you about it? Your organization is open to that dialogue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do that all the time. You know, we really believe our role is to further the understanding of this industry. You know, we partner with Dartmouth Hitchcock on some clinical studies, with USN on some patient surveys. We really want to move the needle in a constructive manner. So, yes, absolutely. If there's any question, I would love to help out.
You've been with the organization now 3 years, 4 years?
4 years.
4 years. What's the highlight of it?
The highlight of it? I think if I look back, it's like, boy, we've come a long way. You know, 5 employee to 65 employee, that's a stretch for any company. And if you had a little layer of we're legally legal, that's quite an adventure. We have an awesome team. And you know what? We make a difference in the life of a lot of people. And I think the highlight of my 4 years, interestingly, would be, you know, a lot of the conversation I have with our patients and how we make a difference in their life. So that would be it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today, Jacques, as well, having you on the show as well. It's been a real educational conversation. I hope the listeners enjoy it. Certainly, after the show, you can go to hrpowerhour.com. There will be an audio recording of this podcast of it that you can certainly download and have. You'll also have Patricia's information where you can reach her at. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
And now your HR tip of the week. 7 performance management tips for supervisors. Supervisors play a critical role in promoting employee commitment, motivation, and retention, and are key in developing and nurturing staff. Here are some useful strategies for promoting enhanced employee and organizational performance. 1. Set meaningful, attainable expectations. 2. Approach this process as a collaborative effort. 3. Provide employee access to the necessary tools and resources. 4. Continually assess and communicate progress. 5. Provide coaching. 6. Provide employees with mid-year performance progress reviews. And 7. Demonstrate appreciation of employee performance. That's according to the Office of Human Resources at the National Institutes of Health. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, our guest is Paul Signolfi. He is the Executive Director and Chair of the Maine State Workers' Compensation Board. We talked about the misclassification of workers. We talked about what happened in workers' compensation in the last legislative session and what is pending for the next session. And finally, we discussed national and local trends and what you should keep an eye on as an employer. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.